Ladies and gentlemen, because reality is just too exciting to spend any time watching fiction, the Madman Machine Show 133 presents Mystery Finance Theater 3000, coming up later in this show.
Oh, that's it. We're doomed.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to Madman Machine Show 133 for Halloween in 2008. Also coming up in this episode, a guy who thinks things are going to get pretty good, a guy who thinks things are going to get pretty bad, and a guy who thinks things are bad but knows how to fix it.
Mad Money Machine is brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios.
Surely you remember a Mystery Science Theater 3000, an American cult television comedy series that ran from 1988 to 1999, the series featured a man and his robot sidekicks who are trapped in a satellite in space by an evil scientist and forced to watch a selection of terrible movies, especially science fiction B-movies. To keep sane, the man and his robots make a running commentary on the film, making fun of its flaws and wisecracking their way through the film in the style of a movie theater peanut gallery. So let me play a little clip for you from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Fire in the projection room. Guess we can't watch the film.
Look upon my face.
I have, sir.
For I am known to all of you.
Oh, is that you, Ted?
Here is a story of my eternal work.
Peter Pan, Antichrist.
It is a story of all ages.
Kids from 6 to 60.
Those dark and forgotten.
Like Grandpa.
And those still to come.
Satan, the Prince of Cabaret.
Behold the subtle working of my talents.
This is subtle? Oh, she better not breathe too hard or she might absorb some fog and gain weight.
Thank you, Mr. Zabub. You have fingers. I like that in a man.
The American Institute of Psychical Recirculating. Should never have bought that cow dung sprayer.
Say, how much longer am I going to have to stay in this crummy joint?
2 days. Perhaps longer.
2 years later.
Take it easy, Diana.
Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Are you subject?
I don't. I get.
You're a witness. Oh, and by the way, sleep!
Around the knuckle.
Over the gums.
Over the finger.
Look out, stomach. Here it comes.
Like riding a tiding.
And now, sleep!
Whoa. You like my lip liner?
He's hypnotized himself.
5 years later.
Into a deep.
Cleansing.
Discount.
Deep.
Heating.
Purple.
Sleep. We are in a dark silence. And we breathe as one. When I touch you.
I think about myself. No, wait.
We will be.
Tu vois la maison de ma famille.
Tish, that's French.
Tu vois la maison.
It's the 23rd hour of our telethon, and we're going all the way.
Well, a friend of mine is a big fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and he brought over the other day a boxed set. And one of the movies in the boxed set was Teenage Strangler. And, of course, one of the jokes they make about the movie is it that they strangle teenagers, or is the strangler a teenager? Of course, the important thing about the movie they were reviewing, Teenage Strangler, is that it was filmed in Huntington, West Virginia, my hometown, back in 1965. Now, there's not really a whole lot to see in the movie about Huntington. They do film it in front of one of the high schools. You can see some of the brick streets and some of the old homes there. But otherwise, there wasn't really much about Huntington in the movie, except for a whole lot of folksy accents, perhaps. But like I mentioned at the beginning of this show, I think reality is too exciting for fiction these days. And that's why I'm going to bring you, a little bit later in the show, Mystery Finance Theater 3000. But until then, there's a favor I'd like to ask of you. If you would, go out to podcastawards.com and find Mad Money Machine. It's second row down, column on the right there. Nominated for Best Mobile Phone Formatted Podcast. And I would be so proud to win that award. So I'd appreciate it if you go out every day, every single day, and press the vote button for Mad Money Machine there. Thank you so very much. Well, let's get to the guys who make the prediction about the market. The first guy who thinks the market's not going to do too bad is John Bogle. He says in the New York Times, "Now's the time to dive into stocks." Monday, October 27th. John Bogle, the legendary founder of Vanguard Mutual Funds, says the recent meltdown in the U.S. stock market has turned equities into a juicy buying opportunity. He says the probabilities for stock market investing right now are very compelling. Already, the S&P 500 stock index had plunged 44% from its record high of October 9th, 2007. Of course, today, the day I'm recording this very segment, is Tuesday, the 28th, and the S&P was up 10 or 11% in one day, vaulting up in the last hour of trading. What a volatile market we're in, anyway. Bogle says stocks have a good chance to produce annual returns of 9% over the next decade, in line with historical averages. He recommends looking for stocks or mutual funds that an investor can hold for the long term as part of a diversified portfolio. He says, as a rule of thumb, an investor's percentage holdings in bonds should equal their age. So if you're 40 years old, you have 40% in bonds. Given that stocks can easily fall further. Now, here's an important point in this article. Excuse me. He says, given that stocks can easily fall further before rebounding, some investors should avoid the market right now, according to Bogle. If you cannot afford to lose another penny, then you have no recourse but to get out. Other experts are also bullish on stocks. Barton Biggs, the author of Wealth, War, and Wisdom, I think it was, he runs a hedge fund, Traxys Partners. He told Bloomberg that U.S. and European markets have blown out to record levels of attractiveness versus bonds. Well, that's the glasses half full kind of guy. How about the glasses half empty kind of guy? That would be, of course, Nouriel Roubini. He is all over the media right now because he was one of the couple of handful of guys that were bearish back when it wasn't popular to be bearish, and things turn bearish. So ding, 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 Nouriel, you win. He says hundreds of hedge funds will fail and policymakers may need to shut financial markets for a week or more as the crisis forces investors to dump assets. We've reached a situation of sheer panic, Roubini said in a conference call in London. There will be massive dumping of assets and hundreds of hedge funds are going to go bust. And on and on and on. I'll have a link in the show notes to videos and articles, all from Roubini, who is continuing to be bearish. Well, let's go ahead now and play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. And for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Madman Machine Show 133 is Harry Markowitz. Well, Harry Markowitz has come up on the roulette wheel once before, quite a while ago. And he comes up again. Harry Max Markowitz, born August 24th, 1927. I guess that makes him 81 years old now. He's an economist at the University of California, San Diego. And check this out. He is now an advisor with Index Funds Advisors. He's best known for his pioneering work in modern portfolio theory, studying the effects of asset risk, correlation, and diversification on expected investment portfolio returns. And he's the guy that has a fix for the financial crisis. And I'll have a link to the article. It's released October 22nd, available at Index Funds Advisors' website. He has an article entitled, What to Do About the Financial Transparency Crisis. And I'll just quickly go through some of the four parts that he has. He says, first of all, take a census of what goes into what in the first instance, and what is the rules of the game for each financial instrument out there, as well as who issues and who owns each instrument. See, the problem with some of these derivatives and things, they don't even know who owns all this stuff and who it's going through and the chain of custody or the chain of ownership of all these crazy derivatives. So he says, basically, take a massive inventory of who owns what, Number two is calculate and the direct and indirect exposure of each instrument. For example, piece of paper A contains tranche B of CDMO C, etc., and therefore is exposed to these amounts of those underlying mortgages. Number three, aggregate the direct and indirect exposures of a given instrument and the instruments of a given institution into meaningful categories. Now, it's not sufficient to know that a given instrument is directly and indirectly exposed to a long list of mortgages. These mortgages should be aggregated and in various ways, such as by zip code and late payment history. The leverage of the instrument and of the firm that holds it should be analyzed directly and indirectly. For example, the firm has borrowed to buy a tranche in an instrument which itself is leveraged. And number four, this information should be disseminated on a need-to-know basis to various parties such as firms, stockholders, counterparties, regulators, and academicians. As with the census data, the more public of these disclosures may be more aggregate than less public disclosures. The basic point is, create a database of the linkages of all this spider web of ownership of these crazy financial instruments. And he says that I hope my argument persuades you and the powers that be that it is worth a careful look. Yes, Harry Markowitz, I think you're right. Indeed, it is worth a careful look, and I hope the powers that be do get started very quickly, because it might take some time to create such a database. Well, congratulations, Harry Markowitz, not only on becoming an advisor with Index Funds Advisors, but on being the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 133. Want to remind you, the listener, there are several ways to comment on things here and get information to me. Email is feedback@madmenmachine.com, voicemail line 206-734-4763, or the new technique, which is the drop.io/madmoneymachine. That's drop.io/madmoneymachine. Yeah, not drop.com. It's drop.io, and I don't know what IO is. Indonesia? Could it be? Some strange country code there. But they've taken that and used it cleverly. And a couple of people have made comments and postings out there so far. Now, one person made a comment on Friday, October 24th that says, "Shame on you. Paul, you should be ashamed of yourself after hearing what your holdings were on the last show. Cash and three stocks. You go against everything you talk about." Says, "First and foremost, you don't even invest in index funds. You preach each and every week about how important it is to invest in them and how everyone needs to invest in them." Oh, and he goes on and on and on and says that you preach against market timing, and yet you're doing market timing and all this sort of stuff. Well, I guess in a sense it is market timing, but it's also about risk. And I really look at it in the perspective of risk. And you remember last December I did a show which I called A Dynamically Adjusted Risk Capacity. And my capacity for risk last December went all the way down to practically nothing. I had very little capacity for risk. I didn't want to lose any money, no matter how much pain it would take as far as losing out the opportunity to gain money, right? And so I did move my money from stocks. Now, it wasn't all in December. I moved some again in March. But I have low capacity for risk. And if you take the risk capacity survey at Index Funds Advisors and walk through the various questions, one of the questions it asks you is, how much are you willing to lose in a year? And in my case, I came to the point where I wasn't willing to lose much anything at all. Now, my investments are actually down year to date about 15%. But the author of this posting says, you don't even invest in index funds. Well, that's not true. I do invest in index funds. I'm in bond index funds. I'm in the Vanguard short-term bond index fund. And I also invest in the money market funds. They don't count as index funds. But I'm in a couple of different bond index funds at this point. And when I do get back into equities, if I do, when my risk capacity goes up again, I will certainly get back into stock index funds and exchange traded funds. I think the poster is bitter. I think the commenter is bitter that they have, stayed with their risk capacity and their investments are down big time, probably more than 15% year to date. I'd have to guess probably 25-30% year to date if it's anything like some of the other equity index funds. I know Index Portfolio 90, I think is the one that has the largest year to date drop. As of yesterday, as of Tuesday, it was down about 45% year to date. And add to that the last couple of months of 2007, which was another 10% drop, I think. But anyway, so I appreciate, nonetheless, your posting that comment at drop.io/madmoneymachine. Because I know not only you have that idea, probably, but you probably represent several other people that think I went against everything I'm preaching. But I don't think so. I think I know my risk capacity, and my risk capacity was very, very low. I do still invest in index funds. I think everyone else should invest in index funds, and I do believe that people should invest with index funds advisors. If this would be a fantastic time to open an account with index funds advisors, don't you think? If John Bogle thinks it's a good time to get back in the market, well, how can you go against his record of success? Just ahead, stay tuned for the first episode of Mystery Finance Theater 3000. But first, John from Omaha calls the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763.
Hey, Paul, it's John in Omaha. Hey, just watching CNBC this Friday, October 24th. It's around noon time, Eastern time. And one thing I've noticed is that looking at the ticker in the bottom, it just seems like there's a ton of these spiders and these ETF funds and things like that going across. For instance, here's what I'm seeing. I see ProShares Ultra Short, a spider S&P 500, a spider S&P 500, ProShares Ultra Short S&P, spider S&P 500, ProShares Ultra Short S&P, Ultra Short Financial ProShares, Diamonds Trust, that seems to be popping up quite a bit. Spider S&P 500, ProShares Ultra Short. It just keeps going on and on about people buying the indexes, either betting short or going long in this market. And it just seems that that is a large majority of what you see out here trading. And I haven't seen anybody analyze this, but I'd like to see somebody come down on this and, oh, there's a ProShare short Dow 30. Anyway, I'd like to see somebody do some analysis of this to see how much of this indexing is driving the market, and not necessarily in indexing in certain industries or, where things match up to some kind of investment cycle kind of thing, but just overall, how does this impact the market? Is this the reason why we have the big swings? And is this being just a place to bet? Are we really investing now, or are we just placing a bet, trying to get that extra, squeak out that extra money? And eventually, it just seems like we're just driving the market lower and lower. Regardless of the fact that nothing's based on anything anymore, we just print the money and all that kind of stuff. But just overall, it just seems like here we are, just trading and trading and trading, just grinding and grinding and grinding. To use a true betting term, that how much of this are we actually going to get out of this mode of moving on and investing in growing companies and that kind of thing? Anyway, I thought I'd pass it along. I'd like to see somebody come through and do some more research on that. Maybe, who knows, maybe Jim Cramer will do that. Anyway, talk later. Thanks for the shows. Bye.
I think he talks a whole lot about index funds, only in the negative light, where he might talk about how, yes, these index funds are driving the whole market. I think he said something like that before in the past. I do agree. I think trading these index funds in enormous blocks would tend to push the market slightly. You see these a lot on the ticker at the bottom of the CNBC window. Here's a thing to look out for. I think they have two scrolling tickers there. I think one of those tickers, scrolling tickers, is sponsored by ProShares, all right? And the second thing is, I think what they do, I think the ones that show up in the ticker are some of the more actively traded, the higher volume ticker symbols, the exchange that have been traded. So I think some of the ProShares, some of those index funds, some of the ETFs are traded in very large volumes, is why you see those showing up so much. Combined with the fact that, yeah, it's sponsored by ProShares. So, and here's the weird thing about it, John. The very weirdest possible thing. You called at 12:01. Well, at 12:56, I kid you not, 5 minutes before you called, I bought some shares of SDS, which is the ProShares Ultra Short S&P 500 Stock Index. And so it's just weird. Are you watching? Are you tapping into my internet, John, in Omaha? No. Yeah, I'm playing a little game. This is truly mad money. You know, if I believe Nouriel Roubini and the stock market is still going to go down, then why wouldn't I want to place a little bet on SDS, which goes up 2 times for every 1 time the S&P 500 goes down? And of course, today it hurt as the S&P 500 went up 10%. Well, the SDS went down 20%. So that's a pretty large swing, a very volatile bet. It's a lot of fun to play, though, with not very much money. Thanks for the call, John in Omaha. And now, the world premiere of Mystery Finance Theater 3000. Episode 1, and Repulsion appears before the Senate.
We admire immensely your willingness to serve our country.
And that beautiful bald head.
And it goes for all of you here at the table.
Except for you, Chris Cox.
There are obviously concerns that have been expressed here strongly this morning.
About the bitter aftertaste in the coffee.
I hope it's been valuable for you to hear from across the country.
And across the globe.
How our colleagues are hearing from their constituents and their own concerns about these issues.
And how the constituents are hearing from their colleagues the complaints about capitalism.
In no way should this be an interpretation of our lack of respect and admiration for those willing to serve our country.
Just a lack of respect and admiration for people who pay taxes.
And we appreciate immensely your willingness to do it.
Blah, blah, blah.
We admire as well your background experience you bring to this issue.
All the many years at Goldman Sachs, for example.
So with that, we thank you for being here this morning, anxious to receive your testimony and answer some questions.
As if you had a choice.
Thank you very much, Chairman Dodd, Senator Shelby, members of the committee.
And members of the Academy.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to appear before you today.
Appear like a specter.
Like a vision.
Like the Holy Ghost.
I very much appreciate the comments you made.
But not the complaints.
I understand them and I appreciate them.
And reject them out of hand.
I also
bring that mic a little closer.
And XYZ, PDQ.
I also share the comments that you all made about the importance of this situation.
I also share my cookies.
And the importance of this hearing.
And the importance of me.
This is a difficult period for the American people.
But not difficult for the bank executives.
I very much appreciate the fact that congressional leaders and the administration are working closely together.
Some might say a little too closely.
So that we can help the American people by quickly enacting a program.
And hastily.
To stabilize our financial system.
Our financial Ponzi scheme.
We must do so in order to avoid a continuing series of financial institution failures and frozen credit markets.
Like a creamsicle.
That threaten American families' financial well-being.
But not threaten the bankers' well-being.
The viability of businesses, both small and large.
But not threaten the viability of bankers, both small and large. Well, mostly large. And the very health of Goldman Sachs.
And the very health of our economy.
Freudian slip there.
The events leading us here begin many years ago.
1913, to be exact.
Starting with bad lending practices by banks and financial institutions.
And the creation of the Federal Reserve.
And by borrowers taking out mortgages they couldn't afford.
And by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Bobby Sue and Billy Joe.
And Beelzebub.
We've seen the results on homeowners.
Could someone give me a cough lozenge?
Higher foreclosure rates affecting individuals and neighborhoods.
Ricola!
And now we're seeing the impact on financial institutions.
Now that we've opened our eyes.
These loans have created a chain reaction.
Chain reaction!
election.
And last week's, our credit markets froze.
Like a cool pop.
Even some Main Street.
Or Sesame Street.
Non-financial institutions.
Institutions?
Oh, excuse me, some non-financial companies.
Like the Shakespeare Theater Company.
Had trouble financing their normal business operations.
Like new draperies for Much Ado About Nothing.
If that situation were to persist, it would threaten all parts of our economy.
Even the unseemly underbelly of our economy?
Every American business depends on money flowing through our system every day.
Even on Sunday?
Reenact the blue laws!
Not only to expand their business and create jobs,
but to expand their waistline and create blobs.
But to maintain normal business operations and to sustain jobs.
Not your jobs. Steve Jobs.
As we've worked through this period of market turmoil, we've acted on a case-by-case basis.
I knew it was all acting.
Addressing problems at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Sent to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Working with market participants to prepare for the failure of Lehman Brothers.
And the failure of Ringling Brothers.
And lending to AIG so it can sell some of its assets in an orderly manner.
Here's a dollar for you, and a dollar for you, and a dollar for you. That'll be 10 cents each.
And here I would make the comment. You know, I've heard your comments on executive compensation. I share your frustrations. I feel those frustrations.
And I feel I should be more highly compensated.
Practices throughout America also upset me.
Like family medical practice or practicing law?
Let me just say that with regard to Freddie and Fannie.
And Bobby and Billy.
And little Gretchen.
And AIG, in case you or your constituents don't know, in those cases, CEOs were replaced
with new CEOs, now with double stuff.
No, you mean Oreos.
Oh.
The government got warrants for 79.9% of the equity.
Got a warrant for your arrest.
I shot the sheriff.
Golden parachutes were eliminated.
But I didn't shoot the congressman.
Strong action was taken.
And Altoids were taken, the curiously strong mint.
I will also say to the comments made about Freddie and Fannie.
And Ricky and Jimmy and Hilda.
And the bazooka.
I wish we'd never given him that darn bazooka.
You all can be darn glad you gave us the bazooka.
No, I was just saying that I wish that...
Because we needed it. Let me tell you something. The root of that problem was in congressional charters.
Did he say confessional martyrs?
No, professional barters.
Started many, many years ago.
1776.
We were living up to our obligations here.
Just not to our standards of living here.
There are ambiguities.
Perpetuities.
There were obligations.
And blob creations.
Around those charters.
And that's just for starters, you martyrs with garters.
And what we did was we came in.
We came, we saw.
We stabilized the market.
And we yonkered.
The mortgage rates went down.
And boy, did the 401k plans go down.
So that capital could flow through our system.
And into my hands.
And I can just say,
if you're like me,
I for one, and I know that the other witnesses feel very glad about
and
this.
And I know I am.
Thank goodness that was done and they were stabilized.
I mean, because this whole thing might have blown up.
Before we had some investment banks report their earnings.
With Mark to market or mark to model?
No, mark to mirage.
So let me tell you, this would be a much more serious situation than it is today.
Run to the hills.
So there was an example of broad authorities.
Did he say flawed minorities?
No, thawed sororities.
Working the way they were supposed to work.
Yeah, but whistling while they work?
To stabilize our system.
Stabilize our system? Is that an ad hoc comment?
Now, sorry for that ad hoc response, but we've also taken...
No, I'm very sorry too, Mr. Secretary, but your time is up. Thank you for coming.
Next time on Mystery Finance Theater 3000, Chairman Ben Bernanke.
I'd like to ask you for a moment to think of these securities as having two different prices.
A wholesale price and a retail price for you suck-ass.
The first of these is the fire sale price.
Because this country's on fire and you're all going down.
All that next time on Mystery Finance Theater 3000.
Please hang up and try again.
The FDIC bank fail count is 16. A couple other things you should check out at the MadMoneyMachine.com website. I created a music video to Mark Hebner's song, Speculation Blues. And I think I used just about every one of the paintings that IFA has at their website. Also, in honor of Henry Paulson, we have this song, Henry Paulson Wants to Rule the World.
Welcome to the strife. There's no turning black. Even while we weep, we will.
right, well, I won't torture you with any more of that. Now, you can either see the video at madmonmachine.com in the show notes, or you can search YouTube, Henry Paulson Wants to Rule the World, and you can see Speculation Blues at YouTube. Also, just type in Speculation Blues. Now, Ambrose Evans Pritchard has an article in the telegraph.co.uk. Let's see what the date on this was. October 21st. Argentina seizes pension funds to pay debt. Who's next? And he talks about, here's a warning to us all. The Argentine state is taking control of the country's privately managed pension funds in a drastic move to raise cash. You know, I had first heard about this, I think, in Peter Schiff's book, Crash Proof, where he talked about how, FDR seized everybody's gold, and that today, since nobody has any gold, what would the government seize? Well, they might seize your IRA and 401k plans. Sound unlikely? Well, just check out what is happening in Argentina. Very scary. With capital gains being reduced, you know how people's stocks are going down. If you were to sell stocks these days, you're probably not going to have very big gains unless you've had them for a whole long time. With stock prices going down and capital gains being reduced, also capital gains taxes will be reduced. And so U.S. tax receipts, I would think, would be sharply reduced in the coming year, which further compounds the budget shortfall. Will government confiscate your IRAs and 401ks? Just stay alert. Well, I want to thank every one of you for listening and tuning into the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes Mystery Finance Theater 3000 to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next time in about a week or so. In the meantime, please visit Index Funds Advisors. I highly recommend, this is a fantastic time to get an account with them. Let them help you manage your financial freedom. Index Funds Advisors, matching people with portfolios. Some music on this show provided by music.podshow.com. Please, if you would, do me a favor and go vote for the Madman Machine at podcastawards.com. Send me email, feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Call the voicemail line 206-734-4763 or go to drop.io/madmoneymachine. Stay invested in these risky markets.